That was the main thing, that they repented and being baptized. And he said, for the promise, you know, we have that same promise, that same promise. You know, as I was preparing this, early in the week, I got a text about the Ezekiel account. And it was like, hey, can you try to explain this to me a little bit? And I'm like, okay, let me go back and listen to it. Well, I just started listening to it, I told her. And I said, I'm going to get back with you. Well, I listened to it, and then I got back with her, and I explained it. She asked her what the question they had, and she told me, and then I answered it the best way I could. And, you know, that Ezekiel account, that's powerful. I'm talking about, man, when you start talking about the glory, I started to study, and I was going to try to do it tonight, and I was like, man, no, because, you know, you start digging, and before you know it, you're trying to find a place to stop, and you can't stop. I mean, after the text, it was like 11 something, and I'm still on the computer, and I'm still looking, and it's like, you know, it's just like that saying right there. It says, when you look into my glory, you will be instantly changed. I try to go lay down, and I'm in the bed, and your mind, your brain is gone. You're restless. You're just thinking. You're thinking about the glory. You're thinking about, you know, it says, no man can look at my face and live. But yet, that day that he's going to come, and when we're going to be changed to immortality, and I'll be able to look at his glory and his face. You know, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, man, how am I going to go to sleep thinking about this? You go to bed, you wake up, you're thinking about that. It's just his glory. You know, when you go back and listen to the series that Pastor taught on about his glory, because your view of God is going to change, I promise you. You're not going to just think you're coming here, oh, I'm just coming to Torah, or I'm just coming to Bible study, or I'm just coming to church on Sunday. You coming to Yahweh. You coming to hear what his word says. I'm telling you, your view of God, I promise, will change. Go back and listen to it. Go back and dig in it for yourself about his glory. And the study, I'm going to start on it, not this Thursday, because Brother Chad has this Thursday, but the following Thursday, and I'm excited about it. I wanted to really get into it tonight, but I'm like, man, I can't, because I got to go back, and there's so much more that I want to read up on and talk about, because it's just so powerful, talking about his glory, and so much, Ezekiel, so much is happening in that one chapter, but then you go to chapter 2, you keep going, read that book of Ezekiel, and it's awesome. So just a couple of things I want to touch on in the Torah. In the Numbers chapter 9:7, it says, and those men said to him, now they asking Moses a question, and Moses was, he was so obedient. Moses was so obedient, so faithful. He was so humble that when he was asked a question to him about the unclean touching the dead body, why are we kept from bringing Yahweh's offering at his appointed time among the people of Israel? He didn't give him what he thought. He answered him, he said, and Moses said to them, wait, that I may hear what Yahweh will command concerning you. He could have answered him and probably gave him a good answer. But that's not what he was about. He was so humble that he wanted to hear exactly what he needed to tell them. He didn't want to go off of his thought. He wanted to know what Yahweh wanted him to say. So, and you know, I thought that was very interesting. And let's see. Oh. In 10 and 11, I mean 10:29, it says, and Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place of which I said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will do good for you. For Yahweh has promised good to Israel. He promised good to him. But yet, here you go down to chapter 11, and the people start complaining. They start complaining about, oh, we had melons in Egypt. We had cucumbers and onions and garlic. And then, you know, he's giving them this manna, but it's like it was a slap in the face to Yahweh. Because they said in verse 6, but now our strength is dry up, and there is nothing at all but this manna. This manna. This manna is coming from heaven. So this is ordinary manna to y'all? But, you know, they was complaining. And, you know, we tend to get in a little complaining mode sometime too. I'm not getting this, or I'm not getting that, or this was not helping me, or that one not helping me. So we can relate to this a little bit. You know, that's how we're slapping the face to Yahweh too. That's how we're slapping. But we got to repent. That's all he asks us is to repent. To repent. And also in 11, in verse 17, it says, "And I will come down and talk with you there." Because Moses is asking for help. He's asking God to help him. To, you know, the burden, because so much complaint, I can see with the man getting wore down, because dealing with people is stressful. I know it is. Just, you know, not, I could imagine I deal just with a couple guys at work, and they could be stressful sometimes. And here, Moses has got thousands right here, upon thousands, that he's got to hear all this complaining. But this is what Yahweh told him. He says, "And I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put in them." You talking about, he told him what, to get like 70 of them? You could imagine the spirit that Moses had, that God was going to take some and give to each one of them, to 70 of them? Man, Moses I can't wait to meet Moses. I can't wait to meet him. And look, he was so humble that in chapter 11, verse 29, when he says, "But Moses said to him," because they Joshua and them, or I don't know if it was Joshua that was complaining, but somebody came. Oh, two men was prophesying in the camp. Was the two of the people that he elected, and they like, "Oh, Moses, you got to come do something." He says, "They, you know, the Moses from this. Listen, a young man ran and told Moses that they prophesying in the camp." And but Moses was so humble, he said, "But Moses said to them, 'Are you jealous for my sake?'" He said, "Would that all Yahweh's people prophesy. Not that Yahweh would put his spirit," it says, "that Yahweh would put his spirit on them." He said, "Not only me, that's not me. I want all of people to prophesy, not just me. It's not just about me. It's not just about me, it's about Yahweh." In chapter 12, it says in verse 3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who are on the face of the earth." And it says in verse 6, "And he said, 'Hear my words. If there's a prophet among you," this is Yahweh, this is what Yahweh has told him right here. He says, "I, Yahweh, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream." But listen to what he said about Moses. "Not so, my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of Yahweh. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" You know, Moses wasn't no ordinary man. He was a man, but he was a man that he was faithful and so obedient and so humble that he didn't have dreams. About both visions. When Yahweh wanted to tell Moses something, he spoke to him mouth to mouth, clearly. It was no, "I wonder if this is what this dream meant." He didn't need nobody to tell him a dream or something he had, try to interpret it for him, because Yahweh spoke to him clearly. He knew. And then we go to Ruth. Ruth and Naomi. I tell you, the book of Ruth is powerful. You know, Naomi, Ruth was another one that found favor. That, you know, and she was a Moabite, and she knew she was. So she couldn't really understand why she was so much favor. You know, but when you're reading it, in the first chapter, you know, her mother-in-law is telling them, "Turn back. You know, turn back. You got to go to your people. Go to your gods." But little did she know that her telling her to turn back, that Ruth had done turn back. Because it says she left her father, her mother, her people, their gods. She said in 1:15, it says, and she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth refuses. Listen what she said. Now, she told her to return back to your gods. But listen to her answer. Your people shall be my people. And she knew there was one God. Your Elohim will be my Elohim. She didn't say your Elohims will be my Elohims. No, your Elohim will be my Elohim. My Elohim. She turned back from all those, and she was determined. He said, that's what Yahweh wants from us. He wants to see how determined we're going to be. How determined we're going to turn back from those pagan ways and say, Father, we're going to do Bible thing, Bible ways. We're going to hold your feasts. We're going to hold your holidays. We are turning. We're making that U-turn. Like, Pat, I can't, it, you can always, that will always stick with you, that U-turn message that he talked about that day. And that's what Yahweh wants from us. He wants to see how determined we're going to be. And in chapter 2, it says, let's start with verse 1. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, listen, and she says, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him whose sight I shall find favor. She knew that when she started doing things Yahweh's ways, that the favor is coming, because he promised it. He said he promises. He promised that he's going to take care of his people. And in 10, you know, when after Boaz came and, you know, he approached her, she said, why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I'm a foreigner? He said, but Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father, your mother, and your native land, and came to a people that you did not know before. Yahweh repaid you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And that's where he wants us at. He wants us underneath his wings. He don't want to just us be on side of him. He wants us underneath his wings of the shadow of the Almighty. You know, she had favor. And it wasn't because she was, I guess, classified, you know, we say Christian nowadays. It wasn't because she was a Christian or that she found that's why good things was happening to her. Because before all this started happening, you got to remember, in the very beginning of the jump, she lost a father-in-law. She lost a husband and she lost a brother-in-law. That's tragedy. That's one of us lose a father or a brother-in-law or a daughter-in-law, anybody, or a husband, or a wife, man, that's going to be some hard, hard times. But she still trusted Yahweh. She still said, I'm still not going to go back to my old ways, these other guys. She said, I'm still going to look on that prize. I'm still going to have that hope that he promises me. And I'm going to end with right here with the Luke, the leper's account. In Luke 17:11, I'm gonna just read that 11-18. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. Now that's passing along between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, he was met by the 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Yeshua, have mercy on us." Now he said there was 10 lepers. He didn't say where they was from. He just said there was 10 of them. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising Elohim with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Yeshua's feet, giving thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Now, that was one out of the 10 that was a Samaritan. Then Yeshua answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return was no one found to return and give praise to Elohim except this foreigner. A foreigner turned around and give praise to him. You know, that's all he wants is that turn back. It's just us to turn back and to, like I said, just to repent and just to fall on our face and weep before him. You know, and to stay humble, because he's so faithful to us. He never, never let us down. And that's all I have, because, like I said, most of the week, all week, I was studying that glory and that Ezekiel account, because, like I said, it is so, so, so powerful that so many things that's happening in that one chapter, but it's so powerful, that whole chapter. And I can't wait to share it with y'all. You know, I got two more weeks of studying and getting into it. And I tell you, it's awesome. It's very, very awesome. So thank y'all for coming out tonight, for listening to Torah. Tomorrow, let's come ready to give praise and glory and honor to Yahweh. You know, he deserves all the glory and the honor. I'm telling you, go back. Go back and listen to that series when you look into my glory and the view. Your view. Sometimes we got to go back and get back to remembering some of the things that were said, because so much is said, you can't remember everything. But I promise you, it's powerful. It's well worth it. So again, thank y'all. See y'all in the morning. Amen.